The gospel lesson for this morning is from Luke chapter 5, and we'll be beginning on verse 33. They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast." He told them this parable: "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says, the old is better." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So, it is cold out there, amen? I'm so honored that you said, "I'm going to get out of bed today and get to church," because it takes an effort to, it's cold right away. It's not like you even can get to the car without feeling that bitter cold. And so, I read it so cold that this guy who had false teeth, the teeth were chattering in the glass next to his bed. Ba-dum-bum. Right. It's so cold out there, the hitchhikers are just holding up a photo of a thumb instead of actually putting their thumbs out. It's cold, but you don't need... It's so cold you have to open the fridge to heat the house. So yesterday I came up to the altar with a couple, and they're going to have their little baby baptized on January 14th. And Laura and Dustin have a little baby, Chase. And so we're up at the altar, and we're... we talked just about baptism, what a blessing it is for us to have little Chase baptized. And we went right up, and I showed them where the bird pooped on the Bible when it flew in, and showed them Psalm 127, verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain." Perfect for New Year's Day. And so we bow our heads, and I could tell that little Chase was a little cranky. And so in the middle of prayer, he's a little cranky, and I said, "Lord, ask your blessing upon this wonderful family, upon Dustin and Laura and little Chase, that they know your love and your peace in this coming year." And all of a sudden, the biggest poop sound that you can imagine. Boom! It was like an explosion of joy. And I, as you know, I'm quick on my feet. I said, "And thank you, God, for helping Chase work things out right here at the altar." And it was just beautiful because he just had this... I was like, you remember those days when your kids, if they, you're good if they're good. And so, but I wanted to share that with you because we need to change. You know, the little Chase had to get changed right away. Can you just go about your business if your baby needs changing? No, you can't. You feel so much better when they're clean and fresh and all that and change. And really, as the older I get, the less I like change. Would you agree to that? When you get older, you like your ways, you like your routines, and new, I don't know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm saying that more these days, right? However, as we look at the new year to come, I want to ask you this: how many preachers does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but the light bulb's got to really want to change. And you have to come to church and you say, "Lord, I really want to change. I want to be a better person." You can't sit back and say, "I'm okay with my faith." Do you ever really want to say that? I don't think so. We always want to be renewed and restored and revitalized. And the last thing I want to be is complacent in my faith going into a new year. But it's so easy to just kind of sit back and be a couch potato in the faith. And when we look at all the New Year's resolutions, God is not in any of those 10 at all. Never does someone say, if you type it in, top 10 New Year's resolutions, there's not one that says, have a better relationship or improve my relationship with God. Because you can take everything else and it'll fall under your relationship. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? And then all these other things will fall into line. And yet we don't think that. And so today I want you to, if you haven't already written on your green, or you can get another piece of paper, write some more. At the end of the service when we say the John Wesley Covenant Prayer, I want you to come up forward and say, that can be one of your resolutions. Spend more time with God. Have a better relationship with God. Get closer to the Lord. Walk with Jesus. Because we love, you know, we might not like new things when it comes to certain things, but we, you know, we love new and improved, don't we? Don't you love a new car? Don't you love new shoes? Don't you love a new haircut if it's good? If it's good. Ethan was stressing out about his haircut this week. So if you see him, say, looks good. But we do like new, except when it comes to new faith or new life in Christ, because we sort of get settled in. And the Bible's clear. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So we need to constantly remember that fact and trust our resolutions to God today. You know, I walked through the cemetery the other day, right at Pine Grove, and some of the stones have beautiful epitaphs of life. And I don't know what you would put on your stone at the end of your life. You can choose before you die what would be on your stone. There's some funny ones, not down at Pine Grove. I know Rodney Dangerfield says, "There goes the neighborhood." That's in stone, but there are some other ones that say something like, "I told you I was sick." this is a real one. "Raised four beautiful daughters with one bathroom. Still there was love." And this is a real one too. "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up with no place to go." But there are some poignant ones. One right down at Pine Grove says, "Live life to the fullest." Amen. Or, "The days are long, but the years are short." Here's another one. "There are two great days in life, the day you were born and the day we discover why." Amen. "And it's not the length of life, but the depth." So today I want you to think about what could be your epitaph at the end of your life. And will it have anything to do with faith? We turn to the gospel lesson today. And we read about, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. It's all about new. And we have to look at the context of this because, you know, today we don't put our wine in or any liquid into goat skins that are sewn together. But in those days, if you put new wine into an old wineskin, the new wine would ferment and stretch it even more, and it would burst. I don't know if Jeff could get me a little cup of water. It would be good. It's hard for a preacher to have a tickle in his throat. But I have. In fact, I have gone through, I don't know how many of these lozenges, with the 6 services on Christmas Eve. And these are great because the Hall's Mentholyptus have little sayings on it. "Buckle down and push forth. Nothing you can't handle. Power through. And don't waste a precious minute." That's on the Hall's Mentholyptus wrapper. So today I want you to think about how you can learn from this scripture, because we need to know the context of the new wineskin and new wine and new wineskin. Because Jesus, in Luke chapter 5, if you go back and you start the scripture right from verse 1, that leads us to our scripture. Thank you, Lindsay. It's so important to look at the scripture before the lesson. Thank you so much. Thank you. Ricola. Thank you. The beginning of the gospel lesson, chapter 5 of Luke, Jesus calls the disciples. He goes to the shore of Galilee, and they've fished all night, and they've caught zero. And he says, "Try it again." And Simon Peter says, We fished all night, but because you say so, we will. And he throws the net back in, and they have a huge catch of fish. And then Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they immediately drop their nets, and they follow Jesus. And they follow Jesus till they're walking along, and they see a man suffering with leprosy. And the man with leprosy calls out, Lord, if it is your will, I know you could just say the word, and I will be cleaned. And Jesus says, it is my will. And he reaches down. He doesn't have to, but he touches the man with leprosy, and the man is healed. The Pharisees are watching this, and they know that when he touches the leper, the man with leprosy, it's breaking the law. It's breaking the rules. He's bringing something new to the situation, the new wine and the new wineskins. And then they keep going, and he starts teaching in a home that's so crowded. Jesus is healing so many people that a man that's paralyzed, his friends want to get him to Jesus, but it's too many people, so they break through the ceiling, the roof, and they lower him down to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And of course, the Pharisees are aghast. They're irate. Who is this who forgives sins? And then Jesus knows that. He hears their muttering. He says, what's easier for me to do? To say, your sins forgiven, or take up your mat and walk? And the man all of a sudden miraculously stands up and walks. Who is this that heals? This is something new. This is a sign of the Messiah. The Pharisees don't get it. Jesus then goes to Levi's house and breaks bread with him. And Levi's a tax collector. You don't associate with tax collectors or sinners. And again, the Pharisees are saying, who is this? He doesn't know what he's doing. He's disrupting things. He's turning the tables on us. He's turning people away from the temple. And then he teaches them about the new wine and the new wineskins. And you don't cut a new garment and patch it onto an old garment. That he's preaching a new message of grace and of mercy and of acceptance to all people. And the Pharisees are blind. They're filled with such arrogance and pride. They're not open to anything new. And so they miss out on everything. They don't see the miracles. They don't see the power of God's grace, the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And so it kind of just, it's like water off a duck's back. They're not open to anything new, so they don't receive the new message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they miss out. They complain that Jesus heals on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. Amen. And so the lesson for us today is that we have to be open to the newness of God's grace experienced every single day. But if we're not, we're going to miss out, because we can be like the Pharisees. You know, the epitaph on the tombstone of many a dead church reads, we never did it that way before. Literally. And it's hard. Change is hard, isn't it? But if you're about bringing the message of Jesus to hurting people, then you say, whatever we need to do, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the message is to save the sick and the lost. That's what Jesus says. I've come to save the sick and the lost. Who's the sick and the lost? Me. And you. And the hurting people out there who might not feel welcome in church because we set up some walls and they have to kind of meet us where we are. Instead of saying, you're welcome, come and be with us. Bring your broken hearts and be healed. And so today is the day to celebrate that our church is like fudge. Sweet with a few nuts. That was on our sign before. You know, one of our most wonderful nuts was Jack Adams. Denise and Jackie are here this morning. And in fact, I want to pass around a photograph of Jack with his beautiful wife, Rosalie, who went by Lee. And how beautiful this was taken in 1944 or 45 when Jack was stationed in California, where he met his California bride. And that's Jack Adams there with his wife, with his Army Air Force uniform on. And I want you to pass around and just take a look at how handsome Jack is, how beautiful his wife Rosalie is. And But Jack was somebody that was such an accomplished man. And I need to lift him up a little bit. Amen? Denise and Jackie, that I looked at him as somebody who, he was a PhD in pharmacology. He traveled the world, brilliant man of intellect, and he read papers that he wrote in Helsinki and Tokyo and worked for AstraZeneca for years and years and years, knew things I could never imagine. But he also wrote children's books. He also, now his daughter said he was a stoic, stubborn German. And if you are a stoic, stubborn German, I'm half German, so you know about stubbornness, right? We all know about stubbornness. But Jack let the Holy Spirit come into his heart. He was open to change. He was open to being like a child to enter in the kingdom of heaven. Here in this place, he heard the gospel, and he had a silly sense of humor that you would never peg a doctor, a PhD, a pharmacology would have. He loved Monty Python. The knights that say knee. And he had a silly side to him, and he had a giggle to him, and he loved the kids in our congregation. And this is a place where he could be open to being made new again and again and again. He was not an old fuddy-duddy. He died when he was 93, and we went Christmas caroling to him at Beaumont, and he was in the hallway, and he was battling some dementia. He'd like to be near the nurse's station so he could observe everyone. He liked the nurses who took care of him. And I leaned over. We had about 35, 40 youth in the Christmas caroling. And I say, hi, Jack, it's Pastor John. He looked up, hi, Pastor John. He recognized me. And we started singing, oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And he starts singing along with us, knowing every word of most every carol. Silent night, holy night. Jack didn't know, and his daughters didn't know. Just a couple weeks later, he'd be called home to heaven. But I lift him up as someone who didn't stay in the ruts that we can stay in life. My dad used to talk about growing up in Maine in Lewiston, and he remembers the dirt road that it would freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw, and they had a sign because you could get locked into someone else's tracks after you would squish down in the mud, and then it would freeze, and the sign said, be careful what ruts you are in. You'll be in them for a long time. And I love to hear that people can get out of their ruts. Amen? The devil wants to keep you where you are. Not be any happier. Not be any fulfilled. Not be healed. Not be forgiven. Next week we're going to have the Teen Challenge guys come and sing. I hope you can come on January 7th at 6:30 right here. It's a ministry that has about a 95% success rate battling addiction. And there truly is a scourge of addiction. There's somebody here right now in our sanctuary, here's my voice, that their granddaughter died of a drug overdose just a week ago. Her name is Sarah. But this ministry is to help save people. And they'll stand here and they'll testify how new they are in Christ, that if they have put on Christ like you put on new clothes, and they have been forgiven and redeemed and restored. They'll share about how terrible their life was and how broken and what they've lost, but now how alive they are in Christ and how new they are, born again in Christ. Amen. The old is gone, the new has come. There was a man last year that shared, and he was an older gentleman. It's called Teen Challenge, but most in their 20s, 30s, and older. This man was probably in his 60s, and they had some questions and answers, and he was asked, if you could go back in time, would you change anything? He said, you know, I'd be tempted, but no, because when I fell and I sinned and I did so many terrible things, and my heart broke, that's when I turned to Jesus. And now that I know his love and I know a new life, I wouldn't trade this for anything. So today, I hope you can have this new covenant that Jeremiah talks about, the weeping prophet that prophesizes the fall of Jerusalem. He weeps over Jerusalem because they've forgotten God. They've forgotten to be obedient to God. And all of Jerusalem is taken over by the Babylonians, and the Israelites are in exile, and Jeremiah prophesizes through the whole thing, and they don't like what he says. They throw him in the cistern, and he almost dies, but he comes back out, and he prophesizes of a new covenant, that the law will be written on your mind and in your heart, not in any book. The Pharisees are so caught up in the letter of the law and judging other people instead of having the law of grace written on their hearts. And we do the same thing. Psalm 10, verse 4 says, "In his pride the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God." Today is the day when you come up and bring a piece of paper that you repent of your slowness, of my slowness, to accept Christ as our Savior. It's one thing to believe in Jesus, but it's another to make Jesus Lord of your life. Amen? And so if you can turn now to your bulletins, you'll see the printed right on the cover. John Wesley, who I'm named after, the founding father of the Methodist Church, wrote this many years ago. And I invite you to pray this with me. You know, last night, Shaw's here from college today, and he actually has his girlfriend with him, Jennifer. I waved at her when I welcomed all the visitors today. We went into Boston last night, and we said, Jennifer, because she's from Colorado. And we said, it's usually not this cold. So cold, and we made our way to the aquarium. And we saw the seals. If you know, the seals are outside the aquarium. And I always thought they were in sort of a warm climate. But if you look up, there's no roof where the seals are. So in the enclosure where they are, the snow is on, on the rocks. And I'm like, how can the seals take this cold? And of course, one of my kids, I said, it's because of the blubber. And I said, well, how can we take this cold world that we live in? It's a cold world, isn't it? You know, we physically feel cold these days, but there's a lot of people that are feeling the cold of just loneliness, the cold of feeling that they're apart. You know, the word Pharisee means separated, apart, and that's what they did, sadly, where Jesus didn't. He was with the people. And I was thinking about how do we stay warm? You literally snuggle up to someone, right? Ecclesiastes 4 says that, two are better than one. If one is by themselves, they're cold. If two get together, they're warm. If one falls, the other can help the other up. We're warmed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you come to church and you hear the gospel of Jesus, that you're loved and you're not alone. You don't know what 2018 holds. I think of Cecil. He didn't know that he was going to die in 2000. Now, well, maybe when you're 98, you might have an idea. But one thing that Cecil was good at is being every day. Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations that, great is your faithfulness came from, that the mercies of the Lord are new every single day. It's kind of like opening up a tennis can or a Pringles can. God's mercies are new every day. God's love, God's compassion. Cecil knew that. In fact, every time he ate a meal, he's 98, he said, "This is the greatest meal I've ever eaten." Every day he lived, he'd say, "This was the greatest day I've ever lived." You can't live yesterday. You can't live tomorrow. God gave you this day. Are you going to celebrate it? Are you going to live it to the fullest? Let's pray this prayer. We're going to take all of our prayers today. You have a lot of prayers to lift up. I'm sure you do for this new year. But we're going to encompass all of them in our prayer time right now. So let's bow our heads. Let's say this prayer and spend some time together with God in prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. All of us, let's recite this prayer together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Dear Lord, we lift up all of our prayers to you and the things we've written on our pieces of paper. We commend them to you, and we ask you to bless them. And also, Lord, our commitment for this new year to pray every day, to pray in the morning, in the evening, to spend time with you, quiet time, to be in your word, and to be about serving and getting outside of ourselves. We thank you for Jeremiah's word, that you know the plans that you have for us. Not plans to harm us, but plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance for freeing us from hopelessness and meaninglessness, that we can be excited for the adventure of faith and trust our lives to you and not stress about tomorrow, no matter how cold it is, no matter what's happening in our lives. And Lord, we ask you to free us from our Pharisaic views towards anyone. And we lift up to you those who feel excluded and not welcomed, that we would reach out like you did, Jesus. We pray for the homeless who have no place to be, just like the Holy Family. No room for them in the inn. But we ask that you would move through us to provide for those who are cold physically or spiritually. Just bless us today to know that there can be a revival, that the Holy Spirit can come with tongues of fire to warm the cold hearts of people who don't believe, that you've created them to be in communion with you. We praise you for Jesus, who died our death, who bled that precious blood for us to know new life, forgiven and redeemed, the joy of knowing our sins forgiven. As we pray your prayer together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.